1 John 2:3 and 4 says, "Hereby we know that we know him, because we keep his commandments. And he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." My God, have mercy. The Lord Jesus was teaching this fella, you've got some obligation to keep God's laws. And you still do. All right? He says, "Master, I've observed these from a youth up." Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said, "One thing you lack, go your way. If you're going to get the pearl of great price, it's going to cost you something. Young man or young woman, you ain't going to take your cake and go out and gobble it up in one sitting." That's what these youth today in the Holiness and Pentecostal and the Fundamental Baptist and what's left of anything almost in America at all, they still got their young people on a wild goose chase, telling them they can get out here and live in the flesh and all that junk. Mm-mm. If you find the pearl of great price, you've got to sell everything and buy the pearl. It costs you everything. He says, "Now go your way, sell whatsoever you have, give to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven, and come, there's a cross. Take up your cross and follow me." And what does the cross do, beloved? It crucifies the world to you and you to the world. Galatians 6:14 says, God have mercy. "And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." He didn't want that pearl bad enough. He was a good young fella. Most churches have been glad to have a man like that in the church, kept the commandments and was rich, but he hadn't sold all to follow Jesus. It's amazing what God has to do to strip us of things that hinder us, that come between us and God. The Lord can do a lot of things. He can help us to lose it in some manner that we never suspected. He can help us through sickness to speak to us. Sometimes loss is the best foundation for a Christian to build on, and usually it is when you have a loss of everything. You start on the bottom. Praise God, that's the best place to put a foundation for God, is when you don't have nothing. Start on the bottom and then start building something that will endure for eternity. If you've got anything left you're going to build on, your house is going to tumble sometime or another, because a storm will test it. Abraham was the first one that God required to give up everything. Back in the 12th chapter of Genesis, and you realize the Bible almost starts with Abraham because he's the father of the faithful. And Lord, the world had been going about 3,000 years before Abraham came along. But isn't it amazing that only 11 chapters cover the first half of the age of this planet we're on in its present form? And starting with chapter 12, we start with perhaps the last 3,000 years of the age we're living in. All but 11 chapters in the Bible deal with the last half of man's history on earth. And the beginning of that history started with a man named Abram, who later became known as Abraham. And the Lord said unto Abram, "Get out of your country, from your kindred, from your kinfolks, from your father's house, into a land that I will show thee." Praise God. Abraham, you got to leave everything. Abraham left everything. He left home. He said, "I'll make of you a great nation and bless thee and make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless thee, curse them that curseth thee, and thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abraham departed. He was 75 years old when most people have thought of retiring, have retired and got tired and quit. God was just starting this man out to show you he don't have to have a young man to start out with nothing and build up to something. See, the Lord specializes in taking nothing and making something. When he got me, he got nothing. Well, I don't think I'm something, but I ain't nothing no more. Praise God, I'm better than nothing. I don't think I'm something either, except the servant of the Lord. But Abraham departed when he was 75 years old. He only had his wife, Sarai, and his brother's son, Lot. Now, that's all that he took. Now, I don't know what they had to ride on. They either had a camel or a mule or some sort of a beast. You don't take much on that. And he left and went the way that God told him to go. And the first thing he did when he came over to that strange land, some 150 miles away at least, he built an altar unto the Lord, and the Lord appeared to him there. Praise God. And then God began to walk with Abraham, because Abraham had left everything and sold out to find that pearl of great price that the Lord told him was over there in a strange land. Abraham, what you're looking for is not home. You got to go to another place to find that pearl of great price. Boy, now that really shocks these modern day Christians when some prophet of God has got some sense and got some discernment and got some vision and got some direction from the Lord tells a Christian, you got to move. Oh, no, that's horrors. I got to stay around my relatives. You know why they won't stay around their relatives? They think if anything happens to them, the relatives will take care of them, or Uncle Sam or somebody, you know. I don't want to get out where I got to be responsible. That responsibility, brother, is what gets me down. It gets everybody down if you'll let it, but you got to trust God for it. And that's what's going to happen to tens of thousands of Christians here in this end time. They're going to have to leave their parents' house or somebody else's house, their relatives. A lot of them are going to have to leave their churches they're in and get to another church. Most of them are going to have to do that. They're going to have to change a lot of locations geographically and get to where God can give them the pearl of great price they've been seeking. Most Christians, let me make a profound statement to you, most Christians are as miserable as the devil. Now take that and do anything you want to with it. I ain't met very many happy Christians in my lifetime. Most of them in this day's culture are miserable and wretched and poor and blind, and a lot of them are naked. But not all of them are miserable. You find me some real happy ones. Oh, they'll get out here when they have a hootenanny and turn on a little button, just light up, you know. Then when they get home, they live like two gingham dogs and calico cats. Oh, we're happy. You ever read those little chick books? It says, why no revival in one little book? Then it shows a couple going to church, fussing. The old boy, his wife is screaming at him, what do I marry you, you so-and-so? Then they get up there, and then in the choir, we got peace, perfect peace, yes we have. Old hypocrites. The church is full of them. They ain't got no peace, they're miserable and wretched. And we've got to wake them up. That's what the Lord said do to the Laodicean church. They're miserable. Most of them, if you'd ask them if they knew God's will, they haven't known it for the last 100 years what God wants them to do, if they've lived that long. But no, what God wants them to do? Brother, I ain't sure about nothing anymore. That's just the way the average Christian, the average preacher is. The only ones that difference them on the radio, they know what they want to do, and that is, they want to get on there and filibuster and soothsay you into sending you their money.